Good evening. I'm Dorothy Graves, a research assistant professor at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, and this is Science Cafe Little Rock. We are here on KUAR FM 89, the fourth Tuesday of every month from 6:05 to 6:30 to talk about a science topic and give you the chance to call in with your questions. Our number here in the studio is 569-8494. That's Central Arkansas area code 501-569-8494. And tonight we are talking about data storage. Joining me in the studio today, I have Thomas Green, Disaster Recovery and Storage Management System Administrator at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. Thomas, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I always like to start off our conversations with some fundamentals to kind of catch everybody up. Can you give us a definition of data?
Data is basically just information that's important to somebody or relevant in some manner.
So no particulars about the type of data. We're talking about any sort of information that we want stored electronically?
It doesn't necessarily have to be electronically. Obviously, that's the most common form in today's society. But to start things out, I mean, 5-10 years ago, the primary data storage method was a pen and a piece of paper.
Wow, that recent. So when we talk about data storage, how are the different ways that data is stored now?
Primarily, data is stored on a hard drive, and it's found in any computer. And it's the way it works is it's a magnetic disk that has kind of, if you were to open one up and look at it, it would look similar to an old school record player. It's a metallic disk with a head that reads off the disk.
And those have been around for a while. Have they changed over the years?
Certainly, they've changed. Just like most technology, it's improved, increased storage, faster read times. But I mean, the general idea for hard drives has been fairly consistent for quite a while now.
Now, as in terms of storage, is all data the same? Is it all stored in the same way? Is it sort of parsed out or categorized differently, or can you manipulate that?
Well, the way it's stored on the hard drive is to a hard drive, it's just ones and zeros. And then the computer, through the operating system and hardware, makes sense of the ones and zeros.
So we've had hard drives for a while. Can you give us a history on data storage? Is it all hard drive in terms of electronic management? We've had floppies and stuff through the years. So give us sort of a brief look into time there.
Well, sure. So the two primary storages are hard drives and then also flash. The most common flash that you see, everybody has a USB thumb drive, but it's also used now on some high-end computers called solid-state drives. Those are used for very fast read and write access that really breathes new life into an older computer or makes a new computer that much faster. Then, just like you said, floppies, those are much older. They don't really store as much information, and those are really the most common ways that data is actually stored in electronic form now.
So are the solid state drives, are those sort of state of the art? Is that, you know, the top of the line right now?
Absolutely. The problem with solid state and the reason why it's new or not as well known is because it's much more expensive. Just like a sports car, you have to pay a lot more for the performance, so they're not in everything yet. But just like all technology, over time it becomes much more accessible, less expensive, and so it's going to become more prevalent.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Science Cafe Little Rock. This month, we are talking about data storage with Thomas Green. He is the Disaster Recovery and Storage Management System Administrator at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. And if you want to call in and ask Thomas a question, our number is 569-8494, area code 501-569-8494. Now, I just read your official title at UAMS. Can you tell us what that means and sort of what you do there?
So my job is to make sure that UAMS is protected, and my main role is to make sure all of the data on all of our servers is backed up, we're HIPAA compliant, and we're fully prepared in case of a disaster.
How hard is that to do?
It's not easy. We have just over probably close to 1,000 servers that we have in our main backup system. And those aren't all of the servers that have primary data. It's just that's what's in that one system. So there are a lot of moving parts.
What sort of protections are in place to sort of deal with sensitive data on campus?
Well, we take a lot of measures to make sure that data is secure. Obviously, because UAMS is a medical facility, we have to make sure we are HIPAA compliant.
And HIPAA is?
Forgive me, I don't remember the name of the acronym.
The Health Improvement Patient Protection Act, something like that.
We'll go with that.
I really should be able to rattle that off the top of my head. But it's patient health, personal health information protection.
Exactly. Yeah. So really the main idea for HIPAA is to make sure that we, as an organization, UAMS, does not disclose personal health information, say my medical records, to somebody that I don't want those medical records to go to.
And I know, because I work at UAMS, and they, when you try and communicate with people off campus, they have things like encryption and firewalls and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So a lot of the ways that we protect our data is we have, we call them hosted services. And so what that means is you can connect with a device of your choosing, say an iPad or a tablet or even your laptop or home computer. And the service, whether it's the EMR system for patients or research or whatever application you're trying to access, that service is running on the server and on the storage online. And your network connection, whether it's through VPN or we use a couple of other technologies to encrypt our network connections to outside, say, your home access. And that's one of the ways we protect data and also make it more accessible to people who aren't right on campus.
Our number here, 569-8494. I'm Dorothy Graves talking with Thomas Green, Disaster Recovery and Storage Management System Administrator at UAMS, talking about data storage and obviously a little bit about data access. Now, also with your job at UAMS, and I'm sure this applies to many, many other institutions, I'm just most familiar with UAMS, you've got a lot of research going on where scientists are accumulating massive amounts of data. How is that stored? Are you just using really big hard drives, or do you have an elaborate backup system for that?
Well, so like your normal hard drive in your computer, let's say it's a terabyte, which is 1,000 gigabytes, you know, for a big data set, that's not going to really cut it. When you say big data, we're talking maybe 50, 100 terabytes or more, because, as you said, genome projects, and it's a lot of space that's needed for that. So we use a technology called SAN, a storage area network, and what that allows us to do is that allows us to send information from the storage array to whatever server that needs it. So, and that's done through fiber optics.
Very good. And we have a caller on the line, Dennis from Hot Springs Village. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you well.
Hey, Dennis, what's your question for Thomas?
Well, Thomas, I'm an IT professional. I've done this for 24 years also. And one of the questions that I have for you, and not to get too techie, but I know you're talking SAN and SAS and all the other formats that we had. How do you fireproof the future? We backed up on tapes 20 years ago, and then we backed up on hard drives. And, you know, if I brought you a 8-millimeter tape from 20 years ago and said I need to restore data, what do you do?
God, Dennis, that's a great question. Luckily, working at UAMS, we've got access to a lot of technologies. I don't know that we would have the ability to restore an 8-millimeter tape. But we do, you know, having to go from tape, say, for instance, to storage, there are conversion methods and actually data operation processes that we use to convert data from one media to another. Over time, as you know, just like with all technology, it improves, gets faster, cheaper. So that's one of the things that with the SAN, you know, we can certainly do is move it, and it's not just relegated to one physical disk.
All right. Thank you for your question, Dennis. So building on that, is there anything you worry about with data that you're storing over a long period of time? Is there the possibility it's going to be degraded or compromised in some fashion?
Well, Dennis actually kind of hit the nail on the head tape media has a shelf life. Everything has a shelf life. In one of my classes that I had at UALR, my professor said, he wrote up on the board, we were talking about all of the different storage methods, you know, hard drive, flash drive, and then he said, a piece of paper. And he said, the piece of paper actually had the longest shelf life when it comes to data, but obviously that's not very transportable. So with UAMS, we certainly have to keep things secure due to HIPAA, and then we also have to make sure that once the data is no longer relevant, we get rid of it.
Hi, Luke. Can you hear us? Luke, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
I can.
Great. What's your question?
Hi, Thomas. This is Luke Tan. How are you today?
Hi, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I had a question about hybrid drives. I heard you talking about solid-state drives earlier. You know, it's like that they're like half solid-state or and like it has the traditional platters. And I was wanting to see what your opinion was on that.
So what Luke is referring to, hyperdrives, that's a, we call it a storage tiering technology. So most everybody on the planet uses Facebook, so I'm going to use that for my example. I've got a kid, so I love to take pictures of the kid and upload it to Facebook, because if I don't, my mom yells at me. So I take pictures, I upload it, and generally for the first, say, 24 to 48 hours, that picture is accessed the most frequently. And then over time, you know, just like with anything, it's not accessed as frequently. So storage tiering technology allows you to move data that is accessed more frequently to the faster space, the solid state, the flash memory, and then move the data to the slower plattered hard drives over time. So that hyperdrives or data tiering is kind of the best of both worlds, because you don't have to spend an exorbitant amount of money on your flash, but you still have a great deal of capacity because of the standard hard drive.
Well, it sounds like that's a real efficiency approach too, you know.
Absolutely. It's something that a lot of the storage vendors are using now. Apple has actually started doing that in some of their desktop computers to give the user the best experience. And there are a lot of different things that Facebook uses it, a lot of cloud providers that are trying to do that to ultimately offer the user the best experience with whatever they're using.
Our number here in the studio, 569-8494. You're listening to Science Cafe Little Rock, and we are talking with Thomas Green, Disaster Recovery and Storage Management System Administrator at UAMS, talking about data storage and data access. So you just mentioned the cloud. Let's talk about that for a minute. What is it?
That's the million-dollar question. The way I like to define the cloud, and this is just my personal how I define the cloud, is it's a computing service, and it can be anything from data storage to an application that's run on a server, say like Xbox Live, on a computer that's not your own and that you connect to remotely via a network connection of some sort.
So how secure is that? That sounds like, you know, it's kind of off in Neverland. I know lots of people who use it feel very comfortable with it. Talk to other people, they're very insecure with something that's that intangible.
Right, absolutely. I mean, just like anything, nothing is going to be a one-size-fits-all, except for maybe a baseball cap that adjusts. But cloud technologies have certain applications that are great, and then they don't work for other things. We don't use a cloud storage provider. Say Amazon is probably the world's largest cloud computing platform, Amazon Web Services. So UAMS doesn't use anything like that for patient data because of HIPAA regulations. We have to make sure at the end of the day we're the ones that get in trouble if the patient's data is not secure. So if we can't guarantee that because Amazon doesn't guarantee it, or we don't have physical access to those services, you don't want to get in trouble for something you didn't do. So that's one of the reasons why we don't use that for that application.
Let's pause for a minute on the cloud discussion. Jean, you're on the air from North Little Rock. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I had a question very similar. Yes, I was wondering if, you know, investing in, Dropbox, you can pay for it to have so many gigabytes of data as storage, or would it be a better investment for an external hard drive as far as, you know, security for you know, being able to, if my external hard drive crashes, would it be more secure to have it backed up on the cloud?
Gene, that's a difficult question to answer over the air, just because I don't know what kind of data you're wanting to store. So tax day was last week. Everything that goes to a cloud, say for instance, Dropbox, if you put your taxes, your W-2 forms on in your Dropbox folder, that's stored on your computer and then it's sent to the cloud. The great thing about it is it's accessible anywhere, whereas your home computer may or may not be, just depending on how you have it set up. But cloud services, say for instance Flickr, if you're wanting to store a whole bunch of pictures, that would be great. So that's, I hope I answered the question as best I could.
So in terms of considering, you know, what different mechanisms you use for storing, you're looking at portability. In that cloud, you can access from your mobile device or your laptop or your work or whatever. And then, you know, the security, is that a consideration?
Absolutely. One of the most, the hot button topics is technology often outpaces the legal system. So right now, that's one of the biggest hurdles that cloud platforms have to contend with. For instance, if, say, your cloud provider loses your data, well, what happens if they're actually based in, say, England or Scotland? Well, do you deal with them in the United States justice system, or do you deal with them in the England justice system? So it's not the answer is A type question.
How often has that happened?
It happens all the time.
Not a good answer.
No, it's not. The problem is it's those kind of breaches are not greatly disclosed. And just to kind of clarify, like one of the more recent data breaches was Target. I'm not an expert on the case, but I know that was actually a problem with malware on their systems. It wasn't a problem with the cloud provider. So, once again, if you're going to use a cloud for a cloud application, whether it's for data storage or a service, you have to make sure it fits your needs and also what you're acceptable as far as the drawbacks are.
Our number, 569-8494, just have a few minutes left, talking with Thomas Green, Disaster Recovery and Storage Management System Administrator at UAMS. Let's talk a little bit about mobile devices, because most of us have smartphones now. The large majority of our, you know, kind of working population deal with mobile devices on some level. And those are basically little hard drives we carry around with us, correct?
Absolutely, as well as they have access to cloud services. Apple has their own cloud service. Google, with all the Android devices, has their cloud services built in. So, I mean, it's both a hard drive and a cloud service in your pocket.
So how easy is it, say I lose my phone, how easy is it for somebody to pick it up off the street and break in and get some sensitive information?
Well, if you don't have a passcode set up, it's a lot easier. So if
that's
you don't
true.
If you don't have a passcode, definitely set one up. But even still, a lot of mobile phones have USB, well, they all have USB ports for charging, but a lot of them have SD cards for extra data storage, because a lot of them only come with a minimum amount of storage in the phone. So that's obviously, if you're really security aware, that's something to be, you know, what data am I putting out on this SD card in case I lose my phone?
Very good. And one other thing I wanted to ask about, so many places we go to now have open Wi-Fi that we can, you know, we go into McDonald's, we can sit down on our laptop. Initially, when that started rolling out, you would hear, oh, you don't look at anything sensitive when you're on open Wi-Fi. Is that still the case?
what I like to tell people is I wouldn't look at anything on a free public Wi-Fi network that you would be embarrassed if your mom saw. There can be places that are more secure than others, but if somebody really wants information, that's going to be the first place that they're going to go, because that's low-hanging fruit.
And what when we talk about data storage right now, you know, we've got hard drive, we've got solid state, we've discussed the cloud. What is the future of it looking a year or two, 5 years, 10 years down the road? Do we have any vision into that at this time?
Everything changes so rapidly. The thing that I personally believe things are going is similar to what we were talking about with the tiered storage. It's multiple technologies wrapped together, and I believe those technologies wrapped together, offering one experience, is kind of where the future is taking us.
So what do you mean by that?
Instead of, oh, did I put something in the cloud or did I put something on my hard drive at home, it's all going to be, boom, there it is. It's in my service that I use, whether it's stored locally on my computer or stored locally or stored in the cloud.
Okay. So kind of like a bundled concept a little bit?
Absolutely.
Do you think things are going to get smaller? I mean, we went from, you know, the floppy drives that didn't hold a whole lot to the little USB flash drives. Are things going to continue getting physically smaller?
To a certain extent. The flash drive I have, if it wasn't attached to my keychain, I'd lose it. So I don't know that I want them to get too much smaller. But absolutely, that's one of the ways that technology improves and makes things faster, is to make them smaller, because electronical pulses don't have to go as far.
So finally, as an IT person and someone in charge of protecting the data at a large institution, what advice do you have for people in terms of protecting their own personal data?
The main thing is just think twice and use common sense. And if you don't know, do a quick Google search. There's, you know, a lot of information out there. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be much more secure than what you may be now.
That sounds great. Well, thank you, Thomas. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And if you want to keep on chatting, we are going to expand more on the topic of data storage and focus a little bit more on the cloud versus hard drives up at the Afterthought in the Hillcrest area of Little Rock. We'll be there from 7 to 9 this evening. Thomas will be joined by a couple of other panelists. Benjamin McCorkle, who is an attorney with the Beacon Legal Group, will give us the legal side of things. And Shucheng Yu is an assistant professor in the Department of Computer Science at UALR. So we'll all be talking about this a little bit further. Thank you, Thomas. And for KUAR FM 89 and Science Cafe Little Rock, I'm Dorothy Graves.